You should see an outline in your bulletin, the title of which is The Problem of Evil, from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. All the verses will appear as we go through the outline together. Let's go to the Lord and ask His help as we study His Word. Our Father, we pray humbly that You would teach us in these moments that even louder than my own voice, Your voice would be heard in our hearts. We just deal with a difficult thing in this issue of evil when we sometimes question Your ability to handle the situations that we see that go on. We question why You don't intervene at times. So please help us as we seek to discover what Your Word would teach us about these things. Speak to us through the Holy Spirit, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In a universe full of electrons and selfish genes, blind physical forces, genetic replication, some people are going to get hurt. Other people are going to get lucky. You won't find any rhyme or reason in it, nor any justice. The universe that we observe has precisely the properties we should expect. If there is, at bottom, no design, no purpose, no evil, no good. Nothing but pitiless indifference. DNA neither knows nor cares. DNA just is, and we dance to its music. We are machines built by DNA, whose purpose is to make more copies of the same DNA. This is exactly what we are for. We are machines for propagating DNA, and the propagation of DNA is a self-sustaining process. It is every living object's sole reason for living. Says Richard Dawkins in the book River Out of Eden, The Darwinian View of Life. And I read that not because I agree with any portion of it, but just to make you aware of the opposite view. And I try to imagine thinking about the events at Squirrel Hill like the past week or so. Can you imagine showing up there and reading this? And what comfort would that give anyone in the room? Essentially saying, you know, there's blind forces out there just doing all kinds of different things, random things. Some people are getting hurt, other people are getting lucky. I'm really sorry, you know, some of the people here got hurt. And I thought, wow, that would be just unthinkable to me. And by the way, there's no design, there's no purpose, there's no evil, there's no good. Just pitiless indifference. That's all we have here. We're machines built by DNA. If somebody dies, hey, there's more of them out there, right? If somebody goes on living, well, they got lucky. They got fortunate. And it's the dangerous thing. If you want to go down that path of saying there's no objective good or evil, It's random chance, blind physical forces, all these things. But maybe we could go down to Squirrel Hill, and maybe we could they could be helped by these words, and maybe in Genesis chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1, Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the first fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. It's so striking to think about this. Here we have the first man and woman on the earth. This is after they took the apple or the fruit from the tree they were told not to. They were cast out of the garden. Sin had entered the world. They had been deceived by Satan himself. But can you picture it? This was the first that we're told of. This was the first kid born. His name was Cain. I tried to picture it, but I don't know that I can. I mean, they had not seen, right, a child before. First one. On the face of the earth that we're told of in the Word of God. And here, they raise the two kids. They have two kids. They have Cain and Abel. They probably have more. We're just not told of the other ones yet, but they have different jobs. And they both want to bring an offering to God. It makes me think, who'd they give the offering to? Maybe they gave it directly to God, I don't know. But they brought an offering to God. I don't know what that looked like. I don't know if we can say what that looked like. We're not told the details. They brought an offering. It's so natural to bring an offering to God. Out of the thankfulness of our hearts, out of who God is, we want to bring an offering to Him. We want to worship Him. We want to serve Him. It's natural. But I think Hebrews would tell us, by faith, Abel brought his offering. Doesn't say that about Cain's offering, though. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain got angry, and his face was downcast. That's not really a sin to get angry. The Lord gets angry at times, righteously angry at things that go on. Evil that goes on in the world. And anger itself is not a sin. It can be very righteous. It can be very justified to be angry when you're mistreated. When something happens, and I'm not saying that Cain was mistreated, but Cain was essentially jealous. Abel's offering got accepted. Mine didn't. He was essentially envious. And in verse number 6, the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." But this is the huge problem here that we face. There's an evil and there's a good.
And it's not that Cain was ignorant of what was good. What the Lord said implies that he knew. If you do what is right, you'll be accepted. Why are you angry? You got no reason. Why is your face downcast? You didn't do the right thing and you were not accepted.
So you shouldn't be surprised. You made a choice. You made a decision. It was the wrong one.
There's an objective standard of right and wrong. It's not specifically stated, but that's what the Lord says. If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. But you have to master it. It's your responsibility, Cain. It's your responsibility. You can't blame me, which so many people love to do. You can't blame anyone. You can't blame your brother. He did the right thing. You did the wrong thing. You've got to master this desire that's within you. It's your responsibility. What does that say? You have a choice to make. God doesn't make it for you. So when Richard Dawkins says, you know, we're just machines, automatically responding to blind forces. Not quite. I wonder if you really love your refrigerator. I wonder if you have a really great relationship and you think, you know what, my refrigerator loves me too. It keeps my stuff cold. We got this great relationship. You know, I wonder if you love your car. I wonder if you love your washing machine. It does such a great job with your clothes. And you say, I don't need anyone else. In my life, I just need my washing machine and me. We can have a great time. Pretty so strange. I wonder why, you know, does it make sense to anyone? Can you tell the difference between a computer and a person? Of course you can. One's a machine. One just gives you what it's programmed to do. Has no feelings for you whatsoever. I mean, you can love the results that it gives you, or you can hate it. But nevertheless, you know, you can't have a relationship. It's mechanical. It's cold. It doesn't think. It doesn't feel. Right? I mean, it thinks in the sense that what you put in, it gives you an answer back. Okay? But that's all been built in to the program. And we can say, you know, why did God allow somebody in Squirrel Hill to go and kill people in a Jewish synagogue? We can say that. We can ask that question. But we can't ask the question until we understand that that man had a choice to make. We can even say that man was similar to Cain. Remember Cain, the first kid on the earth, killed his brother. He murdered him. The guy in Squirrel Hill walked into a Jewish synagogue and murdered 11 people. Very different, but both men, very different times. They lived at very different times. But most men murdered somebody, at least one person. And we can safe to say they were angry with the people they murdered, at least. Angry enough to kill. But see, you know, the man had a choice to make. He chose the wrong path. Who's responsible for that? God certainly isn't. I think we can blame the man. Sometimes these things that happen, this evil that happens in the world, it's the result of a person who makes a choice that is evil. And it's so sad to think about all the devastation, all the hurt that's behind that one choice. In chapter 4, Genesis, verse number 8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" Such a great statement. Am I my brother's keeper? I think the Lord would say, yeah. Actually, you are. You are your brother's keeper. See, in order for love to exist, I think these aren't my own thoughts, but people smarter than me that I listen to talk about these things. In order for love to exist, you also have to allow the possibility of hate. Because love is not a mechanical thing. I've never heard anyone say that my car really loves me. Or my refrigerator, or my washing machine, or my computer. No, I don't think that can happen. It's a choice that somebody makes. You choose to love somebody else, and you choose to serve them, or you choose not to. But it has to be a choice. You choose to do a good thing, or you choose to do something wrong. So the responsibility comes back to you. Every single time. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 10, the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." And in verse 13, Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Whoever finds me will kill me." I think that's so amazing to me. Okay, here's this guy. He murders his brother. And I don't want to be killed by somebody else, though. I don't want that to happen to me. Cain, you didn't treat your brother like you want to be treated. And I think now it's coming home to him. And when he receives his punishment, he's like, "Oh man, this is hard." See, when we see people on the earth, and I mean, this happens increasingly in our day, and we're troubled by it, but people kill other people. Quite often anymore, this happens, and it's always troubling, and no one has an answer for the problem. No one has a good answer. They want to talk about a lot of different things, but no one can seem to stop this from going on. In verse number 15, the Lord said to him, "No, not so. If anyone kills Cain, He will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain, so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence, and he lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. You have to understand something about God. He's concerned for the innocent, right? He said to Cain, look, you're going to be punished because you killed your brother, Abel. So this shows his concern for Abel and the fact that Cain killed him, okay? And how devastating would this have been for Adam and Eve? I can't imagine it, but you know, their sin had consequences too. And we're not told, but you know, was Abel the first person ever to die on the face of the earth? And that would have been some kind of funeral, right? I mean, how would you, as the parents of Adam and Eve, not really seen this happen to a human before, would you ever get over that? You see what I'm saying? Like, that would be tough. They hadn't been to a funeral before, I'm guessing. At least we're not told of that. And their firstborn son killed their other son. The Lord is merciful to those who are, we'll say, the victims. We'll say their families. We'll say the people affected by the crime. But it's really staggering to me. The Lord's merciful to the offender. Cain is afraid he's going to be killed. And the Lord can say, you know, you deserve it, man. That's your problem. You're out of luck. Someone's going to take you out. And you deserve it. But now that's not how the Lord responds. He says, I'll put a mark on you, so no one who finds you will kill you. I'll be merciful to you when you don't deserve it. You made the wrong choice, Cain. There's still hope for you. There's still hope. Oh, man. I need to hear that. I just need to hear that. I don't always get it right. Though I'm a pastor, though I'm a member of a Christian church, though I appear to have it all together. If you just look from the outside at my life, it looks pretty good. But, you know, spend a week at my house, and you'll discover that we don't have it all together. We don't always make the right choices. We make big mistakes. We hurt each other in our family on a regular basis. We get angry with each other. Every day, every week, it happens. And you have to see it, even people like that, even people like me, even people like you, God says, I'm still going to be merciful to you. I'm still going to go on pursuing you with my love. Because I want a relationship with you. It's what I desire. And it's not the end of the story. It's wonderful. If you read on in chapter 4, it's at the very end of your outline. At the end of chapter 4, on verse 25. Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in the place of Abel since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son. He named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. But you have to understand, And I think this really applies to those in Squirrel Hill, those who are affected by the shooting. But life continues to go on. It doesn't just stop when things like this happen. That's it. There's no more hope. It's the end. It's all over. Look what happened. You can get wrapped up in that. You can say that this is so terrible. There's nothing after this. But it's not true. Life continues to go on. And here it is. You know, Eve said, you know, God has given me another child. We could say it's a second chance. And from the line of Seth, people like Noah would come. People like Abraham, people like Moses, people like David. And then one man, Jesus Christ, would come. From that line, I just like it a lot better than what I first read to you. You see that? I think you do too. I think you would agree that it's just a lie to say that there's no evil. And to try to deny that there's evil is just foolish. It's also a lie. It's equally a lie to say that there's no good. Can we not see evidence of both? It's just a lie to say that we're propagators of DNA. It's our sole object of living. It's our reason we're here. Just to spread DNA around. No. You got a far greater purpose than that. I mean, the Bible would say God has called you to live in such a way that you would be a blessing to those that are around you. He's called you to become more and more like Christ. More and more like Himself. He's made you for eternal dwelling places. Not just to live here. I'm sorry, but this is the most, what Richard Dawkins said is the most ridiculous thing I've heard, and it gives no one hope. No one. I find no hope here at all. If he's right, I cannot accept it. And the Bible would say evil is to be avoided. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. It even says evil is to be hated. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for He guards the lives of the faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate the pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. Now, we don't hate the people who do the evil, but we hate the action of evil. Evil is to be resisted. Submit yourselves to God, then. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the most difficult, evil is to be repaid with good. Jesus would say in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, "Love your enemies and do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked." On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans chapter 12, verse 20 and 21. So we have to understand, the way we respond to evil is not to hate the person who did the evil. It's not what we're called to do. But you overcome evil with good. With love. Not with hate. Because the tendency is, and I think the media in some ways fuels this, is we hate the person who did that. And I understand, it's somewhat justified, but it's not what the Bible said. You hate the evil act itself. You hate the sin. You love the person, and you try to show them Christ can forgive even you. And we understand that but for the grace of God, we would be that person. There's nobody in this room that isn't capable of something like that. Being angry enough, maybe, but God is merciful. He's shown us a better way. And we're so thankful. We say thank you for showing us this way. And the evil exists, but so does love. There has to be that choice. Because if you remove the choice, you end up with machines. Let's go to the Lord. As let's close the...